From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Total Depravity, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 7 and 8. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is referring to the natural condition of every person born into this world. Because everyone is descended from Adam, everyone has inherited a sin nature. Not only is every person a sinner by birth, but each one deliberately chooses to sin because his or her heart is in rebellion against God. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. The Lord's admiration of his church is very wonderful, and his description of her beauty is very glowing. She is not merely fair, but all fair. He views her in himself, washed in his sin-atoning blood, and clothed in his meritorious righteousness, and he considers her to be full of comeliness and beauty. No wonder that such is the case, since it is but his own perfect excellency that he admires. For the holiness, glory, and perfection of his church are his own glorious garments on the back of his own well-beloved spouse. She is not simply pure or well-proportioned. She is positively lovely and fair. She has actual merit. Her deformities of sin are removed. But more, she has through her Lord obtained a meritorious righteousness by which an actual beauty is conferred upon her. Believers have a positive righteousness given to them when they become accepted in the Beloved. Nor is the church barely lovely. She is superlatively so. Her Lord styles her, Thou fairest among women. She has a real worth and excellence which cannot be rivaled by all the nobility and royalty of the world. If Jesus could exchange his elect bride for all the queens and empresses of earth, or even for the angels in heaven, he would not. For he puts her first and foremost, fairest among women. Like the moon, she far outshines the stars. Nor is this an opinion which he is ashamed of, for he invites all men to hear it. He sets a behold before it, a special note of exclamation, inviting and arresting attention. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. His opinion he publishes abroad even now, and one day from the throne of his glory he will avow the truth of it before the assembled universe. Come, ye blessed of my Father, will be his solemn affirmation of the loveliness of his elect. The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
But because of the nature with which we are born, we have a carnal mind. We mind the things of the flesh. And the symptoms on unregenerate human nature is death. That's what God is saying. And our text gives the reason for that sentence. And as you understand the text tonight, you will come to understand that when God says death upon unconverted humanity, when God says the sentence is death upon the soul that is in the state of nature, that is not a harsh sentence. It's not an extreme sentence. It's not a sentence that's in any way disproportionate to the crime. When you read our text tonight, you find that God passes a sentence of death on unrenewed humanity, on sinners, because the natural and willful, and that's a very important adjective in there, the natural and willful state of their souls is a state of total depravity and of total spiritual inability. Now that's our subject for this evening. The total depravity and the complete spiritual inability of all men without Christ. Now you don't need to have gone to seminary to study homiletics to see the outline of the message. I have 2 points, of course. If I live true to my reputation, I might take 2 years to do them. But I'm actually going to try and make sure I cover them both tonight. So this will be more of an overview. There are 2 points, total depravity and total inability. Total depravity, the term, is a theological term. It's a term that describes a lot of scriptures. If I were to take you starting in the book of Genesis chapter 6 and then chapter 8 and go the whole way through the Bible, we could take all night just turning up texts of scripture that when they're put together yield this term, total depravity. There are some people who object to it, and they really do show the ignorance of their hearts in that what they're objecting to is often not what the term proposes. So let me clear the decks tonight and tell you what we do not mean by saying man is totally depraved. Let me tell you what the term does not mean. It does not mean that every sinner acts as wickedly as all other sinners. Does not mean that. Obviously, you walk down the main street in Greenville, and one sinner meets you with a smile and a good morning, and the next sinner meets you with a gun, blazes that bullet into you, the first one's not acting as evilly as the second one. So when we talk about men being totally depraved, we are not saying that every man acts as wickedly as all other men. We are not saying that every man acts as wickedly as he might act. We are not saying that every man is now as evil as he may become. That's not the doctrine either. We're not saying that every man indulges in every form of sin. Nor are we saying that every man is incapable of doing, quotes, good to others. We all know people who are unsaved, and the Bible speaks of these. I'm thinking of one of the kings of Israel who was a man that God judged. He fell into deep apostasy and wickedness, but God commended him for the good thing that he did. So we all know sinners who have done good, who have for example, given money to the orphans, who have fed the hungry, who have sought to use their wealth to bring some light and comfort into otherwise dark and comfortless lives. We all know unseen people who have acted, in human terms, nobly and courageously. Some unsaved men on the battlefield have given their life or given their limbs to protect those who were with them. So when we talk about total depravity, there are some misconceptions we've got to clear up. These are some of the things the doctrine does not mean. What it does mean, quite simply, is that every part of human nature has been corrupted by sin, with the result that there is no spiritual good in any man by nature, and that no man, without the intervention of regenerating grace, no man has the ability to originate spiritual good toward God. That is total depravity. Now, I'm giving you an overview of what it doesn't mean and what it does mean, so that I may clear away any misconceptions and any objections that you have heard that would be rattling around in your head that would stop you coming with me to the text of Scripture tonight. We're going to be coming to Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. And when you look at this text, let me say right up front, you're going to see something that is very important to grasp. There are two descriptions of depravity here. Two descriptions. We're going to look at them in due course. But the thing to note is this, that in each case, the description defines depravity as an active energy. In other words, sinners are not in a state of being passive victims of sin. This is not the case of, quote, a poor sinner caught up in sin against his will. Water is wet, right? Rocks are hard, right? They have nothing to say about that, and they have nothing to say about it. They have no input into it. Water is wet and rocks are hard. That's it. But you can't simply say that about sinners. Sinners are sinful and that's it. Because men, unlike the rocks, are not just passive in their state. Theirs is a state of active depravity. The Bible teaches that the corruption of sin resides chiefly in the mind and the will of man. We focus on people's actions. Now, I don't want to get too technical because this would take us way off course. But let me back up a little. Even the word will is such a difficult word. Most preachers and most teachers, when they're talking about this, they talk about decisions, what are called volitions, acts of the will. You decide this, you decide that, you decide the other thing. And the constant emphasis is upon volition, what I choose to do, what I don't choose to do. And there is the tendency to lock sin up into a series of actions, choices, or volitions. But sin goes much deeper than that. The will of man has a state. It has a bias. It has an inward inclination. In other words, the sin or the will of man is already inclined in a certain direction. This is the governing disposition of the will. And out of that, all its actions arise. Why do I raise that? Do men have a free will? Calvinists and Arminians have been fighting about that one for years. I'm a Calvinist. I'm supposed to say men do not have a free will. Rubbish. The will of man is free. The problem is, as A.A. Hodge pointed out years ago, the man himself is a slave. That's the problem. What is free will? Free will, theologically speaking, is the ability of a moral agent to make choices according to the disposition of his will. Man is totally inclined to self, totally inclined against God, and every decision and volition of his will is the natural product of that disposition. So when we talk about depravity, we're talking about something that resides chiefly and deeply in the will of man. Our portion in Romans 8 emphasizes this. They, sinners, mind the flesh. They mind the flesh. I, again, cannot back up and go through an exposition of that particular phrase again. You'll have to go back and get the CD of the former message to do that. But sum it up in the words of the Lord Jesus. Men love darkness. Oh, they're in darkness. They are darkness. But they love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The depravity of man, in other words, is not just something imposed upon him. It is something in which he is actively involved. Now let's, with that in mind, come to our text and see the terms that emphasize this deliberate depravity and activity. The carnal mind, the mind of the flesh, the unregenerate human nature is enmity against God. Enmity unto, toward, and therefore against God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.